Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 18th of October, recording at, oh my goodness, well, it's 10 p.m., a very busy long day here. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. And I'll start by saying that we've certainly had nervous and choppy stock markets really since May, and that's when Fuller Money had started. Well, during the second quarter of this year, Fuller Money started predicting that we would see a more choppy environment, and the main reason for that was because we'd had such a strong rally going right back to November of last year, and that had lifted valuations quite a bit. If you remember, way back in November last year, sentiment was extremely bearish, and valuations were really quite attractive. Well, we've had a lot of short covering, and we've had a lot of long buying, and that produced overbought market conditions as we moved through the first quarter of this year. And then leading to those highs that we saw mostly around May, and that was followed by some sharp shakeouts, not least as people were beginning to discount the inevitability of some tapering of the Fed's position. Well, an extremely stimulative monetary position, of course. Now, we know that's all been postponed, and more on that in a minute. But we have also had a very soft global economy overall. And I don't think that's at all surprising, because if we think about it, we have also experienced the typical conditions. Well, I don't know if you can call that 2008 recession typical, but it was atypical. Let's put it this way. It was a typical severe credit crisis recession. There aren't that many of them. But when they have occurred, that a lot of economists with a good understanding of previous cycles going back over 100 years have pointed out that it usually takes anything from 5 to 7 years at least before economies get back to anything like normal. I've been repeating that for months, as you will know. And in some instances, these slow growth periods can take considerably longer, up to 10 years or so. But while that may sound worrying and depressing to some, it's certainly not bad for stock markets, as we have been seeing. And the main reason for that is because the corporations, not least the global autonomies that Fuller Money writes about all the time, are not experiencing the same very weak performance that we see by economies. They're doing far better. And one of the reasons for that is that they are benefiting from globalization, but they are also benefiting from that extremely strong tailwind of the most stimulative monetary policy ever seen in the USA, Europe, Japan, and the rates are really mostly accommodative just about everywhere else. Now, meanwhile, the U.S. slowdown has that we've seen this year, and when I talk about a slowdown, people were forecasting, at the beginning of the year that we would see the gradual increasing growth rate can continue, but it hasn't, and that has caused doubts over the quantitative easing tapering. And therefore, you'll remember back in around May, when people were starting to worry about imminent tapering, now that has been postponed, in most people's opinions, to December at the very earliest, and possibly it might not occur until we are actually in the first quarter of 2014. And I would really take that latter view myself overall. I don't think growth will pick up a great deal. But it's not just the in the next few months, but it's not just the GDP figures that the Fed should be watching, and therefore that you and I should be watching. And we want to keep an eye on the trend for bank lending, particularly in the United States. Now, if bank lending is picking up because banks are willing to lend more, and also because there are, in the opinion of banks, worthy borrowers queuing up, if the speed with which that money was changing hands was picking up, and an increase in bank lending would be a very powerful indication of that, then I think that would suggest that the Fed under Janet Yellen will be considering tapering sooner than some people feel. I'm talking now about the people who are taking the view that we may not see any actual tapering until well into 2014. We will see, but again, the key point is obviously watch the growth that you actually see reported in the news, and also watch, as you inevitably will, the political problems that we might see. People are worried about another big battle between the Republicans and the Democrats, and I think they're probably exaggerating that risk. I feel that we will not go through quite so much brinkmanship towards the end of this year or in early 2014, because it's obviously a self-inflicted wound, and both parties have certainly lost support in the public opinion polls. So the overall result here is that Wall Street, over the last 2-3 weeks here in particular, has been discounting a postponement of that initial tapering, and the entire world has actually benefited from that move. In other words, sentiment has picked up pretty well all around the world, not least in some of the emerging markets. Now, interestingly, also, money continues to be shifted from bond funds to equity funds. And when I've talked about, and other people have talked about, a shift of money from bonds to equities, not least as a number of us certainly feel that bond markets are entering what is likely to be quite a long bear phase. Some commentators have said, well, bond investors don't do that. They'll stay in bonds. Well, perhaps the big funds that are being required by some of their regulators to buy bonds, yes, they'll hold on to traditional long-term holders of bonds. They will largely stay within that sector. But the people who are holding bond funds, those are more general investors. And those are the ones, I think, who are very likely, well, they have been shifting out, and we're very likely continue to shift out of those bond funds over the months and years ahead. And that's adding another tailwind to these stock markets, in addition to this incredibly accommodative monetary policy, as I've already mentioned. Now, it's interesting looking at these long-dated government bonds, because as you know, in that period from May of this year into September, the yields almost doubled during that period, and that certainly rang some alarm bells at the Federal Reserve and in other central banks. And people were putting out some fairly bearish forecasts on the basis that another move of that magnitude would cause serious headwinds for the global economy, and we also saw it weaken the housing boom, that move, that near doubling of those longer term rates that did occur. So it's a relief that we've seen this pullback, and we actually today I noticed we saw the U.S. bond yields dip down beneath the lows of the last 2 months here, but they did not close below those lows. But nevertheless, they closed right around those lows. But nevertheless, in the last 3 days, we've seen a pretty sharp pullback, decline, in other words, in those long-dated government bond yields. And as I speak right now, the U.S. 10-year, well, that's finished the week at a yield of 2.5777. And it was a little over 3 in the first week of September, as you may recall. So interesting development here is that I continue to think that this looks like a medium-term pullback and consolidation, if you will, of these yields before they do move higher over the longer term. Now, in terms of this medium-term pullback, I don't know whether that means several months or quite a few months. And we can be sure that the central banks will be keen to keep these rates from the highs that we saw last August and last September for as long as they can, or at least while the global economy is still relatively soft. But the fact that rates have softened and very much appear to be in this medium-term pullback and reaction and consolidation phase is also beneficial for stock markets overall. I think for people who've been investing in bonds, particularly in the bond funds, it is creating another opportunity to move away from those markets, and that's certainly what I would be doing if I had any bond funds, but I do not, as you probably know. Now, I've talked an awful lot about Wall Street, but this really is the big influence in here overall. And to give you an example of that, let's take India, which has been a very high beta market. And over the last year, really, we've seen this incredibly choppy ranging action. So every little pullback on Wall Street and India has fallen much more sharply and then recovered with surprising strength overall, given all the problems that have been taking place in that economy. Well, when I checked the news on this today, because India had this very strong rally, it was up, I think, about 2.3%, over 2.3% on the Sensex index, and that took that index to a new high for the year. And it's not all that far below the all-time numerical, I should say, all-time highs that we saw back in 2010 and also in 2008 before the extremely sharp declines occurred from those levels. And it really reminds me of the story of the optimist, and before I tell that story, I'll say, and I, in doing this and relating it to India at this time, I certainly mean no disrespect to my Indian friends, let alone all the people in that huge and fascinating country. But you may know the story, and a chap is very enthusiastically shoveling manure out of a barn where the manure is packed all the way up to the roof. And someone comes along and says, "Well, why are you doing this? All this work, unpleasant work." And the man with the shovel says, "Well, because there has to be a pony in there somewhere." Well, the pony in this, as far as India is concerned, is its technology sector, which is very strong and getting stronger. And also there are other interesting factors, such as the election that will be coming, I think, in the first quarter or beginning of the second quarter next year, and whether Mr. Modi will be winning. And he's the man, as I've mentioned before, who has had such a impressive economic performance in his own in his own province. And I think you get somebody with a government that isn't too diluted by different factions, who understands economic GDP growth the way Mr. Modi does, and is assisting the economy. Well, I often say that governance is everything, and that would be fantastic for India. But in terms of the overall investment crowd worldwide, when times are when investors are fearful, then in a high beta market like India, they back away very quickly. And conversely, when sentiment is improving, we're back to the optimist with a shovel opinion in terms of India. Now, other markets of considerable interest, well, perhaps they're all of considerable interest to you. They are to us as well, but I won't try to cover them all in here in this audio. But Japan. Japan's stimulus program, which many people have denigrated, although certainly not Fuller money, it was long overdue. And the key question, though, was would this actually change that loss of confidence and sort of deflationary morass, that disinflationary morass that Japan had slipped into over a period of over 20 years for sure. And my feeling is, but I want to take my clues and cues from what I see in terms of the overall chart action. And it looks to me as if India is in the latter stages of its first big medium-term pullback and consolidation. And these patterns can last for a number of months, as you know, and that's already the case with India. It also looks somewhat like the first step above the base, and it is really quite a big base that we actually see for India. So this is an extremely interesting story, and I continue to favor an overweight position in India generally. Now, to turn back to government bonds here for a minute. Bear market environment, I would be extremely cautious there. I've already mentioned moving out of bond funds overall. I think that following a 31-year bear market, we will bull market, I beg your pardon, a 31-year bull market in terms of falling long-term interest rates, we will see easily a decade or more of rising long-term interest rates, but not in the medium term, as I say, as we are in a corrective phase. But I would not want to be owning bonds. If I did or change my view on that, I would go for some of the higher yielding bonds, and not least some of the higher yielding corporate bonds for viable economies overall. In terms of other markets, in terms of currencies, and this has really been quite interesting, because you will remember that it wasn't all that many months ago. We'll certainly go back to last year and years before, since the big 2008 bear market phase, and the dollar was considered a safe haven. And people would, any time fear levels rose, they would rush to the U.S. currency. And that has not happened this time around. And one good reason for that is the fact that, the most important reason is the fact that confidence is growing in other parts of the world. And Europe, which had all been, was all but written off, a year ago, not to mention earlier, is now attracting investors. The euro is attracting additional support, and the United States, those political impasses have certainly led to a loss in short to medium term credibility regarding the U.S. Now, I think it's unlikely to extend much beyond that, or much beyond the Obama administration, which has over 3 years further to run. But we will see. And that, I feel on a very long-term basis, I've said before, and I'll only mention this and review it again very, very quickly, is that the U.S. does have some big structural advantages. And the three that I cite will be: it's the leader in terms of the accelerating rate of technological innovation. And also, it has the most competitive energy prices, thanks to its fracking activities, of any developed economy. And it also has the most global autonomies. So I think that's being reflected in the performance of the U.S. stock market, and I think it's something that will be reflected by a general, overall decent performance for the U.S. for quite a lengthy period of time. I also think that the, and we've often mentioned this at Fuller Money, Owen and I, that the dollar is in a overall support building phase and base building phase. And I think that that will continue as well. But in the short term and the medium term, there's no doubt that the U.S. would like to see the dollar stay relatively soft for competitive advantages overall. And the U.S. political situation has also contributed something to this this weakness. That has also helped the precious metal sector, which continues to range in what looks potentially like a base extension phase. Have a look, if you will, at the put up a daily chart of gold and silver. And you'll see the small base, the very sharp rally coming up off the lows, then this gradual ranging pullback. Now, if this gradual ranging pullback breaks the ranging downward trend over the last few months, and I think there's a reasonable chance that it's getting close to doing just that, and then trade sideways, it'll look like a sort of a V bottom with right hand extension, base formation, to use the technical jargon, but it's an interesting it's an interesting situation overall. I wouldn't be an aggressive buyer in there at this time because people have the mindset that gold is mostly desired at times when investors are worried, but I continue to feel that it's much closer to an important low than a medium-term high. I don't think it'll get back to its all-time a high that we saw for quite some time, but again, it does look to me like the precious metals are support building. I think we can also say the same, though the evidence is a little less clear, for industrial metals overall, and certainly the shares that and throughout the entire mining and resources sector, they have some of the lowest valuations overall, and that looks attractive to me. They look attractive in terms of being medium to longer term recovery candidates at this stage of the cycle. Okay. Did I say that we're back to a short-term overbought condition in stock markets? That should be fairly obvious given the near-term strength that we've had. And that will lead to another pause and consolidation, which is likely to become choppy, I think, in 2014 once again, because of the fears of the actual tapering of quantitative easing. And although people are pointing out that that's not as important as the actual eventual rise in short-term interest rates, and I would agree with that, but nevertheless, it is the removal of some of the stimulative money that's in the economy, and some of which has certainly influenced stock markets to the upside overall. But as I said last Friday, an optimistic Friday audio, I think that we are certainly going to have a favorable stock market environment over the remainder of this year. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.